this morning, a daily devotion. It's from Luke 8:22. He said to them, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." And they launched out. Oswald Chambers says, if you obey Jesus, you will have a life of joy and delight. Well, it is not true. That's what he says. Don't we think that, though? If we obey Jesus, you'll have a life of joy and delight. He says, well, it is not true. Jesus said to the disciples, let us go to the other side of the lake. And they were plunged into the biggest storm they had ever known. You say, if I had not obeyed Jesus, I would not have gotten into this complication. Exactly. The problems in our walk with God are to be accounted for along this line. And the temptation is to say, God could never have told me to go there. If He had done so, this would not have happened. We discover then whether we're going to trust God's integrity or listen to our own expressed skepticism. Skepticism of the tongue is the only transitional real skepticism is wrung out from those who know they did not get where they are on their own account. I was not seeking my own. I came deliberately because I believe Jesus told me to, and now there is the darkness and the deep of the desolation. Darkness is not synonymous. That's a hard word for me. Synonymous with sin. If there is darkness spiritually, it is much more likely to be the shade of God's hand than darkness of account of sin. It may be the threshold of a new revelation coming through a big break in personal experience. Before the dawn, there is desolation, but wait, the dawn will merge into glorious day. The shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. If you are experiencing the darkness of desolation or individual lines, go through with it. And you will find yourself face to face with Jesus Christ as never before. I've come to that in my life. Life in which there is no death. And that they may have it more abundantly. Well, I don't know if that was for anybody other than me, but I know it was for me this morning.
Can you summarize what he said in your own words?
Well, for me, sometimes we think that the way that God has led us, or God leads us in a way, like He said, to launch out, go to the other side. We have in our minds sometimes pictured the fact that, wow, you know, I can't wait. This is going to be something spectacular. This is going to be something that I've been waiting on. You know, this is going to be bigger than life. And this is what the Lord's speaking to me in this, that, you know, and then we launch out into that the deep. We move across that place in our life and we step out in faith. But oftentimes it's dark when we get out in it. You know, there's something that it's not near what we think it was going to be. God has a total different plan. I'm sure there's a different revelation for everybody in that. But for me, you know, that's what he's saying, you know, that I had a pastor, well, he's a pastor, but one of the chaplains share about this, not in Luke, but the other occasion of when Jesus told them to get in they went in the boat and the storm come and everything. But he was sharing how he went to Jerusalem and he went over there and went out into the sea and they launched out and the sea was just, it was just calm and all, and he had practically did this, and he said, but there's an area over there where this happened, the same thing that happened with the disciples and Jesus. And when they got out in that boat, the guy that was the captain of this little boat that they were going across told them, he said, now we're going to experience some rough waters coming up. And he said, there's this place, this area, that where the winds come rushing down off the hills, off the mountains, and it stirs that water up, and there's always turbulence there. There's always some, you know, rough waters and the storms there. They didn't know that when they got in the boat. They didn't realize that they were going to go through, you know, a storm, some tossing and some seasickness of life fixing to head their way. But he said, sure enough, they got to this area and the wind started coming and they started blowing off those mountains. And that same place that happened where Jesus was asleep in the boat with them and they all feared for their life, in this same very instance, like in the Bible, they experienced that. And when he started sharing that, that come up this morning when I read that. We don't expect that, do we? We don't expect that a lot of times when we're called into ministry or we're called into this place. God says, get out and get in the boat. All right, we'll get in the boat. He says, launch out, do this thing, open up ministry house, open, you know, start Celebrate Recovery, start your ministry. Most of the time we're not equipped and we're not ready for that. We really don't understand that. We hadn't done the research. We didn't know that there was a place that we're going to go through and we could be tossed and to and fro, like it says in James. The boat, you know, could be steered and twisted and turned. And so it gets scary, don't it? Sometimes. And I can see, for me, I'm kind of in that dark spot right now. You know, I'm kind of in that place where, like he said, the skepticism and the doubt has been there. And but like that song we sung, I have to trust the Lord. You know, I have to take my eyes off everything around and just keep doing what God said to do and trust the Lord. But is that always easy? What about you? What did it speak to you in that?
Basically the same thing that you said.
What did he mean that you think by darkness is synonymous with sin?
I mean, darkness is not normally something.
It's not.
Yeah,
excuse me.
Not synonymous with sin. People think that darkness only comes when you do something wrong, but sometimes darkness comes when you do something right. When you are obedient. He says it's a shadow of God's hand.
Shadow of God's hand.
So that you will trust Him in the darkness.
I think a lot of the problem there is when that does rise, we are controlled by our feelings and emotions so much so that when that does come, we're not disciples and freak out. Lord, save us. We're about to perish. You know? And they was more controlled by emotion than faith at that point. Because the first thing Jesus said when he arose was, ye of little faith.
Mm-hmm.
And that was his first words to his disciples.
Yeah, and what he's saying here is that the darkness on account, it may be the threshold of a new revelation coming through a big break in personal experience. You know, the temptations, the trials of life and everything else, you know, here in Charles Stanley again this morning, you know. We should expect it, but we oftentimes get blindsided by it, don't we? You know, and if we stop and think about it, you know, wow, we pretty much can catch up in our minds with it. But, you know, anything else? Well, Brother Chad, won't you come up and give us a word of what the Lord spoke to you today, if you would, and share Share what the Lord's got on your heart.
Definitely. Well, this was all a surprise thrown on me by my awesome brother Ronnie. Just love him to death. Me and Ashley were talking about a week or so ago, and she got to talking about how I'm stronger in areas of life than she is, and that, you know, I could see a certain something and just not be bothered by it and move on and just go on. And the Lord started ministering to my heart then. And it's funny how the Lord works is when He ministers your heart and you're ministering what the Lord is saying to you, you know, sometimes people can take offense to what the Lord is saying, you know, and but what God showed me was it's not the fact that it's easy as the fact that I'm not sowing into those things or allowing those things to sow into me. And what the Lord gave me for this morning is sowing and reaping. And it's a lot more than just sowing and reaping the word. It goes a lot deeper than you just sit here and can fathom. You can sit and think about sowing and reaping the word, but it's and everything in life that this takes place. And I got just a few scriptures here that we looked up and found. And starting in Job chapter 4, verse 8, it says that, even as I have seen, those who plow iniquity and sow trouble reap the same. And then over in Psalms 126:5, it says, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. So we got a mixture here of good and negative things that can take place with sowing and reaping when you read just those two verses. So the big thing was I don't allow those things. Let's just say you have a problem with lust and womanizer, chasing after women with your eyes, or you have a problem with lust and chasing after men. If you are not monitoring everything that is placed before you in your life, and you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to filter these things, they're planting seeds in your spirit. Mm-hmm. And you don't even realize it. A lot of people just don't even realize it. So you're listening to this country music song that's singing about this and singing about that, but you're not paying it any attention. You're just listening to it just to be listening. And really what has taken place is that thing is feeding something into your spirit.
That's right.
It is sowing something into you.
That's right.
And you don't even realize it. And then next thing you know, you catch his eye or you catch her eye. And it starts looking appeasing. But yet you don't do anything about it. You just keep living your day-to-day life. You keep listening to these songs. You keep listening, you know, doing this same old stuff. Before you know it, you slipped off the deep end and in a ditch. Mm-hmm. You know, and I talked the first of last year was talking about the power of your tongue and what you could, you know, how to speak and how to talk. You know, sowing seed is just equally as important, if not more important, into your life. Whatever you listen to, whatever you hang out with, whoever you hang out with, will eventually be who you become.
That's right.
You know, I was at work here a while back, and you know, we got talking about bad company corrupts good character, and talking about the word, and I thought, well, Lord, why can't my good character corrupt bad company? And he said, because that's not what it says in my word. That's not what I wrote. That's not what I said. I mean, it was an instant speak to me rebuke.
Right.
That's not what I said. And earlier, just a few minutes ago, he gave me that reason why. And the only way that your good company is going to change someone is if the Lord sends you. Mm-hmm. But see, a lot of times we yoke up with people that the Lord didn't send us to.
That's right. That's good.
And when we're yoked up with those people that the Lord didn't send us to is when they start corrupting us. We want to be there. We want to do it. Our feelings and our emotions say that everything in Scripture, we could back it up time and time again with Scripture why we should be there. But if the Lord didn't send you, why are you there? You know, it says to be absent from the world only until He sends you. That doesn't mean you discord yourself from sinners, because that's who Jesus hung out with, but it was only by the Father's will. It was only what the Lord told him to do and where to go and who to say what to. And you know, my grandmother always told me that and I find it true every day, is the Holy Spirit is our teacher, our leader, our guide, our wisdom, our knowledge, and our understanding. You know, and she always, every time I'd go around her, she would quote that to me, son, the Holy Spirit's your teacher, leader, and guide. He's your wisdom, your knowledge, and understanding. He's your all and your everything. And you know, I'm sitting and listening to that as a young believer, not, you know, taking it in, not understanding it. But the older I get, the more I can see what she's talking about. You know, when we watch a movie and that movie's got blanking this and blanking that in it, and you get that sense in your spirit, well, I just should turn that off.
Come on.
But the problem is a lot of times we won't do it. We'll suppress the Holy Spirit. We'll suppress the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
Come up with a reason why we can watch what we're watching.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and go ahead and do it. And then this is where I find where my grandmother was talking about. The Holy Spirit knows best. And He is only going to guide you in a direction that is fulfilling the Father's will for your life. He's already got your best interest in hand. But yet we refuse to listen to Him at times. And then when it's against what we want, we really refuse to listen.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's not what I want.
Amen.
I don't want that. I want to watch this movie.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know, so sowing and reaping is a lot more than we really think. And the Holy Spirit is the greatest teacher that could teach you about sowing and reaping. So my encouragement would be to, when you get that check, to turn that movie off, turn it off. Because He's trying to warn you ahead of time. If you watch this movie and you allow these thoughts and these images to enter your mind, down the road, this is going to give you some serious trouble.
That's right.
You don't see it, but I do. And a lot of times we think it's punishment because we can't get what we want. But I said in a quote here a while back, God doesn't raise spoiled brats. You give a child everything they want their whole life, that's what they will become. A spoiled rat and expect everything handed to them.
That's right.
They won't appreciate anything. God doesn't raise sport brats. He's not going to raise sport brats. We're not going to get everything that we want. You know? One of the things that you look at here, and I go on down, and this is in Galatians 6, chapter 6, 7 through 9. It says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." There's a lot of flesh that we like to sow into.
That's right. Preach this.
And we wonder why so many of us are on fire for the Lord. So many of us are wound up for God. But yet so easily can fall right away. We're not monitoring what is sowing into our lives. It is really simple. When you break it down, it is really, really simple. The gospel is simple. The word of truth is simple. If you slowly step back and allow the Holy Spirit to guide you and lead you, we would go through a lot less complications of falling short to sin. According to this word, we are supposed to stand victorious over sin. But so many believers are beat up by sin and beat down by sin. How many pastors do you see fall short because of lust? One of the biggest problems with that is this law of sowing and reaping. And I feel like that's what the Lord has shown me this week. One of the biggest areas that people fall is this law right here. They're not monitoring. They blow it off. They say, because we think we know better than the Lord. I mean, let's just say it. We think we know better for our life than the Lord does. It don't make us feel good. We're not going to do it. You know, I was able to minister to a guy this week. I was standing up way up in the attic, hanging out a window, finishing it. And I was like, "Woo! It's three stories down." And them guys are laughing at me. And I said, "Well, I know what's going to happen if I fall." And they just laughing. I said, I'm going home with Jesus. And they just thought that was hilarious. And they're way up higher than I am doing a chimney. And I said, "Well, what about you? Yeah. You know, I asked them if they go to church. And they said, yeah, they were Catholic and everything else. And then later on, you know, I'm not bashing anybody, you know, if they're going. And then later on, they're talking in Spanish. And I always mess with them and just say "see" in the middle of their conversation. That means yes, you know, in the middle of their conversation, just, you know, being goofy. And they just all started laughing, and I'm like, well, what's so funny? Well, he was saying to take him over to a hoe house, and then he'll go to church Sunday and then ask for forgiveness. And I said, "Oh, no, man, that's not right. That's not, you know better. That's not right." I'm a Catholic. That's the way it is, man. You got to feel good. And this is conversation. This guy's serious. You got to feel good, man. You got to have fun. I said, "Dude, I have fun every day in the Lord. You know, I don't have to do those things." Oh, man. I said, "That's just a feeling, an emotion. You don't even know me. You only met me 3 minutes ago." I said, "But I know you because I'm listening to your heart and where you're coming from." I said, "You know the thing. You know that it's wrong." And he just shook his head. And he couldn't say nothing. Because when the Lord confronts us, we can't say nothing. It was just a moment of time, you know, and he's just sowing into that. And, you know, you sow into, watch that R-rated movie. And you know, God has already put those limits into place. You know better. I know better. We know better. You know, but you watch it, and then there it is. Nudity. You know, and it's just like, ugh. If you buy into it, well, that's how they were back in the day. That's how the Lord made them. It won't be long that you've got that magazine or you're on that internet and you're surfing. Because after a while, that seed will eventually grow.
Sprout.
And it's going to sprout and it's going to flourish. And what you're putting in is going to come out.
More
than you know, it's amazing how God is moving and doing and changing things, you know, in our lives. But one of the things that we have to be really cautious on is the things that we put in. You know, I'm not a sit-around buff that's going to sit around and listen to garbage all the time. My kids will tell you, my wife will tell you, you know, you turn it on, I'm hollering, turn that garbage off. I mean, you can ask Caleb, I don't want to sow that stuff into my spirit. You know, and people don't understand, but I want people to hear this message to understand what you're doing, what you're really doing to your spirit, and you don't even realize it. You're allowing Satan to come in and sow seeds that shouldn't be in your spirit at all. And before you know it, you're falling. And then you're wondering, God, where are you? where are you at? Because then we want to blame the Lord. Adam and Eve did it. Right? Adam blamed God. This is woman you gave me.
Fall man. That's it.
You know, Eve blamed the serpent.
Busted the flesh.
They didn't want to take credit for anything. And when we fall in, we don't want to take credit. We want to give God all the credit then. Then you get all the credit for us making our mistakes. You know? So, I think the Lord wanted to make a point that we need to remember this principle of sowing and reaping. We need to take this to heart. And, you know, and apply it. And what I've heard all this morning and what I'm receiving is this. Ministry House was placed here to sow seed. To sow godly seed.
Amen.
And that we've done. Every person that's came in, we've sown godly seed. Everyone that's came around, or that has been around, any of these ministers that belong here, has received nothing less than the Word of God. And we've planted. And we've sowed. Now, whether we see the fruit of that, who knows? Paul said he planted and Apollos watered. But God gave the increase. So regardless of where we are, work, another church, wherever we're at, we're called to the law of sowing and reaping. And it all depends on us of what we're going to sow and reap. And what we will allow to sow and reap in us. You know, we got to be obedient and listen to the Holy Spirit's calling. He knows best. He knows best for each one of our lives. And if we keep choosing to press Him down and to not listen, we're going to be in a fallen state. Mm-hmm. We're going to fall away. We're going to be in deep sin once again and fall a slave to this thing. This is one of the most important, I would say one of the most important laws of the Bible that you could follow, of God's Word that you could follow. pay attention to what you are allowing to minister into your life. Pay very close attention. And for ones that hear it, you're going to look at TV different. You're going to listen to music different. You're going to hear the check. And I encourage and urge you, when you do, cut it off. Be obedient and listen. Because what's going to happen is those seeds of doubt, those seeds of whatever it is, it's not going to have room to enter in when you say nope. Nope. Faith come by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. That's part of sowing too. You sow the Word of God in you, and the Word of God's going to come out of you, and you're going to flourish in it. So with all of the bad, you have the good. There's bad and good in all of it. You can't have good without bad. And you can't have the bad without the good. That's another thing the Lord's showing me. You know, if there was no negative, if there was no sense to change, then why would you change? If you didn't have a reason to change, why would you do it? There'd be no reason for it. There'd be no purpose for it. You know, I was talking to a brother this week. He constantly gives to this guy. He lives at home with his parents. He don't have any bills. He don't nothing. But yet he constantly gets everything handed. And the Lord just spoke to my heart. And I looked at my brother. I said, let me ask you a question. And this wasn't the guy that's getting everything. This is the one doing the giving. And I said, let me ask you a question. I said, if you have no reason to change in life, will you change? And he thought I was challenging him. In a way it is, but it wasn't directly. What are you talking about? I don't understand your question. And so I asked another brother that we were working with, and I said, hey, if you have no reason to change, are you going to change? And he come walking over and he answered it just as simple. He said, well, why would I want to? I don't have a reason to. Why would I want to? And it was that simple. Mm-hmm. And then I looked at him. I said, you see, why would you want to? And then he pondered on it for a little while. And I said, I feel like the reason that the Lord said that was because your time is up, given to this young man. It's time for him to grow up. He doesn't own anything. You got a family to take care of. He don't have anything. He stays at home with his parents. He's working, making good money. And yet every Monday morning he don't have anything. And you're buying him breakfast. You're bringing his lunch. You're doing everything for him.
Right.
I feel like the Lord is saying it's time to change. And he told us. It wasn't nothing. I'm not that clever, and I tell my wife that all the time. I'm not clever enough to come up with that kind of stuff. Not off the top of my head. I had to give God the credit. And he received that. He said, you know, you're right. Oh, the Lord's right, but okay. I'm just telling you what I felt like the Lord had laid on my heart. You know, you have a reason to change now. What filters through your home? There's going to be people in your home that don't get it. There's going to be people in your home that don't want to do it. You got to stay true to you and the Lord, whether they will or they won't. You know, you can stir up a ruckus and stir up a big fight. But if you say, Lord, they're yours, deal with it. I'm just going to stay true to you. He'll do it. You know, I have to personally stick to that myself. Lord, they're yours. They're only borrowed. I thank you for allowing me this time to share and to be a part of their lives, but they're ultimately yours. You know, you have to do it. I'll do as best as I can with what I can. You know, but that's what I feel like the Lord has laid on my heart, you know, and where He's at, where I'm at with the Lord right now. I'm just learning so much, learning about myself, who I am, where I stand, and so much of myself before in the past is wanted to stand up and defend myself and defend the Lord and be, get in defense mode with people. But the Lord is changing my heart in that. And how He's doing it is simply ministering. I have it under control. You don't have to stand up and defend me. I know where that person's at. You know, I've got a lot of negative feedback from doing that with people. And the Lord's asking to sow with love, not sow in defense. And that's in home, and that's in every aspect of my life. And that's where the Lord's got me right now and teaching me. You know, and it's just amazing. It really is how much you learn when you just sit and listen. You know, and there's a lot of feelings and emotions that came with it, and that come with it, that are unsure. But then it's, you're back to, well, am I going off of that, or am I going to go off what the Spirit's saying? Because right now it's kind of chaotic, and my feelings are a bit chaotic. What do I do with that?
I'm here. Yeah.
But He says, be still. Be still. And just trust that I am God, and I will do what I said I'm going to do. You know, I don't know who that's for, but that's, you know, that's where I'm at. You know, that's where my heart is right now. You know, I went through it.
Go through it. That's the main thing.
Yep.
Great.
You got anything else?
Yeah, thank you for sharing and ministering to us today. That word, it goes right along with, you know, everything else. I've been studying the kingdom of God, and then this morning, I got a word dropped in my spirit, and it goes right along with that. And then the daily devotion too. I wrote a few things down. We've got a couple minutes. So I'll read one thing. One thing, you know, too, Chad, you said is really good about sowing and reaping there, and then the Spirit. I did a little bit, and you said something about country music. And I'm not going to, you know, jump on the beat up country music deal, but, you know, one thing, I here a while back, I flipped by that CMT channel, you know, and I was looking at some of the, I was just drawn in, you know, by one of those videos that was, I believe it was a Tim McGraw one or something. And it was a good one. And I felt in my spirit all of a sudden think about how many good ones you think you'll see will be the next one, you know. And so I said, I'm going to watch one more, and another one come up, and I'm not going to name and bash who these guys are, but I got to watching, and the Lord began to speak to me about that spirit behind it, you know. Mm-hmm. And I know it. Same thing with rock and roll, not just going to bash the country. But there's a spirit behind it. And I believe it was like, if I remember correctly, I think it was like, I watched about 10 of them. And that was about 30 minutes time or something. And out of those 10, I wrote down some of the lyrics of some of them, because up on it, we had the one of my grandsons has been coming with me. I turned mute it, and the words had come across. And you don't really see, or a lot of times we don't, like you said, we don't really hear those words. But I started seeing them, you know, reading them, just like if I was going to be singing them karaoke or something. And I started seeing all these words and things in there, and how, you know, I'm like, wow. And 7 out of 10 of those songs was talking about getting drunk, running the dirt road, going to party, and sex, and 7 out of 10 of them. And they were really you know, good beat, lyric songs and everything. And I began to think about it. And I started reading those words. I'm like, I had no idea that song would, you know, what it said. I just heard it, mm-hmm. you know, and I don't listen to that anymore, but I flip by the radio, I might hear that song. And I begin to think of that same thing, of that planning, of what it does in our mind.
Yeah.
And I was telling Penny here a while back, I don't understand why sometimes with the Word of God, I know where certain scriptures are, you know, but I struggle sometimes with memory. Exactly the chapter and verse, so I had to hunt sometimes, you know, instead of just going right to it.
Mm-hmm.
But why is it sometimes we can hear something like that, and it can be stuck in our mind? I mean, you can start singing that song, just hear it once or twice, and what? It gets planted, don't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it gets in your mind. And I was thinking about that, and the Lord began to speak to me. That's how it happens, the deception mm-hmm. of the Word.
Yeah.
And that exactly what you're saying, the seed, and that seed is what? The Word,
mm-hmm.
whether it's the Word of God or the Word of the enemy.
Yeah.
Of natural sin entered in through the seed, through that mm-hmm. Word. And but I found that real, and I'm like, you know, no wonder our nation is where it is, between all the sowing that's going on within the music industry, the television industry, the movie industry.
Yeah.
Me and Penny watched that Transformer here recently, wasn't it? It's the last one that's out.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a good movie, wasn't it? Until they started, there's one of the main characters. Just, I don't know, had to cuss, you know, just right out of the blue. Mm-hmm. What was it? It was a GD or something like that. I'm like, now, you know, this thing is designed for kids, right? I mean, to watch and stuff. And then they get to this one movie and they have to all of a sudden start saying that.
Mm-hmm.
They think we come to think that everything is sometimes we can't get the people to go see this movie, I guess. I don't know, but, you know. But the enemy knows.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, whether we will understand it or not, that seed's getting planted.
Mm-hmm.
And you've heard my testimony of how from when I was young, like your sons, and falling into that deception of the same thing, and how it plants something in our lobes of our brain somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things, real quickly, is that this morning when I was hearing about temptation and the temptation of Christ, and the message I heard this morning, and I wrote down a couple pages as fast as I could of it, what God was speaking, was that Jesus, you know, before he went into his ministry, he had to, like John the Baptist, you know, the then that like I said earlier. There's some that means that something happened prior to that. When you say then, Jesus was led into, meaning that's what Charles Stanley was saying this morning. There was something prior happened. That's why he used the word then. Then Jesus was led in the wilderness. You look back to the next chapter, it was like then Jesus was baptized. You see what it was, and this is real key, because Jesus was ready for his ministry to a certain degree. But then all this time as he grew up, he was being prepared. And so what happened to that then before that? He had to be baptized, and the Spirit of God had to come. Mm-hmm. So that when he would be tempted in the next chapter by Satan, that he had the power through the Holy Spirit and through that seed, that word, like you're saying, mm-hmm. to what? Fight off the enemy.
Yeah.
And so that is the key, being full of the Spirit. And you know, I've heard you say that this morning, and really understanding that You know, it took obedience for Jesus. It takes obedience to us to be able to receive that seed and everything. But thank you for sharing this morning. It was good.
You got anything? No.
I do wanted to say one thing. You know, when you was talking about how you can listen to a song or something and all of a sudden it's inscribed in your head and you know, you can't remember the word, you know. One of the things you can't get into is you can't get into self-condemnation of that. Because I think what has happened is I want to say religion has placed, you've got to memorize this, you've got to memorize that, and put a real emphasis on you need to da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But I've been in conversation before, and because I've read this word, the Holy Spirit bring it up. Mm-hmm. And I can't just think of it, and He just bring it up. And then all of a sudden, it's there.
Right.
And it and then, because what it does is it leaves you in a place to where you can say, I couldn't have thought of that. I couldn't have been that clever just to come up with that word. It leaves you in a place that you have to glorify God with it. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you know,
understand.
There's a difference.
Right.
There's a difference in sitting and trying to memorize verses and trying to, but the Lord is using what you would call, what you feel like as something bad. He's actually using for His glory. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, He can do anything He wants that way, but